At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Microsoft's aggressive $44.6 billion bid for Yahoo has opened up a hot war in digital country, where a lot of the world's life goes on these days. Giant Google is striking back with maneuvers of its own, trying to stop the creation of a giant hybrid micro-who. This is high-tech drama, big stuff, with the future of three giants and maybe the future of the way the world works in the balance, from search and advertising to email and software and more. This hour, On Point, Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, and the big digital showdown. Joining me first today from San Francisco is Kevin Delaney, reporter for the Wall Street Journal. He covers tech and Silicon Valley, and he's been all over the big Microsoft, Yahoo, Google battle. Kevin, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
It's great. Big doings here. Where does this stand right now? Bring us up to the moment.
Well, Microsoft extended its offer to Yahoo's board on Thursday. Yahoo's basically gone quiet since then. We know that their board has had some discussions trying to figure out what their options are. And as far as we can tell, there really are no alternative bidders that have emerged so far. There are a number of people, some bankers and others, trying to put together rival deals to Microsoft, but the fact is Microsoft's deal is for $45 billion. And there are not a lot of people right now, especially with the financial and credit markets where they are, who can be ready to top that bid, especially knowing that Microsoft is really serious about this and is probably ready to raise its offer as well. So you have to be good for $50 billion or more to put together a rival offer.
This would be the biggest tech deal in history, and that's a history with a lot of big deals in it. We'll look at the details, but Kevin, what is Microsoft up to here? Why is it doing this? Why is it prepared to take such a big step, borrow money on a huge scale for the first time in its corporate history, go to all this trouble to get Yahoo, which has been not doing so well?
Well, it's, you know, Microsoft has not been doing so well either in this area, to be honest. It and Yahoo are second and third or second and fourth to Google in really key areas of online search advertising and some areas of online advertising. And Google's just been extending its lead. And so Microsoft on its own has not been able to do it. The thing that's compelling about Yahoo is that it does have a really, really broad reach. It has about 500 million users each month around the world, and it actually is an enormous seller of online advertising, and so it has all these relationships with advertisers. And so one key for Microsoft is just to be able to instantly reach all of these consumers and instantly have all these ad sales and have all these relationships with the advertisers to jumpstart its own efforts.
So is that the core of it? I mean, describe for us, put it in very concrete terms, what makes Yahoo worth $45 billion to Microsoft, hypothetically, at least in Microsoft's view?
Well, in terms of the for example, in the U.S., let's say, Yahoo has 12% of the total visitors that people spend on websites. Google actually has 4% because people search and then they go off to other things. Microsoft has about 6%. So together, Yahoo and Microsoft would account for about 18% of all the time Americans spend on the web, and that's compared to 4% for Google. There are other markets where you can see similar numbers. It just is a huge accelerant, as Steve Ballmer is calling it, for Microsoft's Internet efforts, which really they've had a lot of trouble getting traction. There are lots of reasons that this deal could be bad for both companies, just including how do you integrate the 14,300 people at Yahoo into Microsoft in a way that does actually accelerate the two companies' activities.
Mm. Here's a little tape, Kevin, of Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer in a conference call last week talking about their bid for Yahoo.
We also see this announcement as the next major milestone in Microsoft's company-wide transformation to embrace online services overall and to invest very successfully in search and advertising.
So at the heart of it, online search and advertising, that makes traffic, visitors very important. Those can be turned into dollars by ads shown to those visitors. Just on that front, Kevin, Google's already making a lot of noise saying this would be bad for the American consumer, bad for competition. They've been pushing back very loudly over the weekend. What kind of counter moves is Google making
That's
to try
exactly
and head
right.
this off?
And if this deal goes forward, you have to bet that Google is going to marshal all of its resources to try and stir up regulatory opposition to it. The markets that Google is pointing at specifically in terms of this deal being anti-competitive are email, where you have Yahoo Mail, which has an enormous amount of users, Hotmail from Microsoft, all the people who use Outlook and Exchange for their corporate email, and then instant messaging, where Yahoo and Microsoft, especially on a global basis, have really together have a really dominant share of the instant messaging market. And so Google says that would be anti-competitive. And then if you throw in Microsoft's dominance of the PC software market, you could have a scenario where it could use these different services to increase its dominance in a way that would be unfair.
At this point, I mean, a lot of things could happen here, but at this point, what do the odds appear of this deal being derailed somehow? Or is the money just so big and Microsoft in a position where it's presumed, I don't know, on Wall Street and Silicon Valley that it will push this through?
Well, the wild card is really Google. And Google reached out Friday to Jerry Yang, the CEO of Yahoo, and said, if you want to thwart this, we're ready to help you. It also made some other calls to industry players saying, if you want to make a go for Yahoo in competition with Microsoft, we're willing to back you up. It's not clear. Google has not showed its hand yet what it's willing to do. The assumption is that Google could not actually make an offer itself to buy Yahoo because their combined market shares would be so great in certain markets that regulators would not let it go through. But there are other scenarios, including one where Google takes on Yahoo's advertising sales in the area of search and in return gives it revenue that would allow Yahoo potentially to try and stay independent of Microsoft.
But that would make Yahoo just one more website using Google search, kind of embarrassing for the Yahoo gang.
I think Yahoo's gang is pretty embarrassed at this point already.
Oh, boy. Kevin Delaney, please stand by in San Francisco. Big stakes on the table here. I want to welcome in another voice to help us consider them. Nicholas Carr joins me in the studio, former executive editor of the Harvard Business Review, written some very influential books about the future of the Internet and digital media. His latest is The Big Switch, Rewiring the World from Edison to Google. Nick Carr, thanks a lot for being here.
Thanks. My pleasure.
We heard Steve Ballmer there, the CEO under Chairman Bill Gates, of course, of Microsoft, talking about Microsoft's transformation being behind this bid to put a bear hug around Yahoo and buy it.
Right.
What's the transformation that they envision? From what to what?
Well, it's from the world in which everything ran on your personal computer. Up until recently, you know, if you wanted to do something with your PC, you'd go out and buy a piece of software, come home, install it on your hard drive.
Very likely a piece of Microsoft software.
Right, and update it every couple of years. This was the world that Microsoft dominated, and it was a very profitable world. We're moving now into a very different world where instead of going out and buying software, you just go online, fire up your web browser, and you get all sorts of software served up as services online. And this is the world that Google is dominating right now. And of course, for Microsoft, the stakes are enormous. Because as people move from installed software to software served up as a service, it means that the old Microsoft business is slowly going to wither away.
So does Microsoft have to win as a search engine to win as an Internet software service provider, or could it just go straight to that point, that service?
Well, the problem is that they're all very tightly interconnected. To control search means you control where people start off when they go to do anything over the Internet. I mean, Google has trained us, because its search engine is so good, that if you're going from point A to point B on the net, point A is a search engine, and it's usually Google's. And second, and even more important, is control of advertising, which is also very linked to the search engine, because the search engine provides you with information about what people want. That allows you to tailor ads to them. And if we move from a time where people would pay dollars for software to a time when more and more software has to make its earn its keep through advertising, then obviously having a big advertising operation, big, efficient, and effective online advertising operation is going to be crucially important to your business.
To build that revenue base, Kevin Delaney, we've seen what's happened with Yahoo's stock over the last month or year. What about Microsoft? Are people really seeing this as a kind of a last stand, must win competition with Google for Microsoft?
You know, I think it's a few years. I think Nick is exactly right, but I think that's looking out a few years. You know, you look at something like Vista, which no one has particularly liked as, you know, Microsoft's new operating system, but Microsoft still is reporting healthy sales of it for various reasons. There's a lot of momentum, and even as Google makes available its own word processing applications that it delivers over your web browser and things like that, they're still tiny, tiny compared to Microsoft's market share in this area. And while things can shift quickly in this, in these terms, is a matter of years. And given the install bases and people's habits. And so I think Nick is exactly right that, you know, Microsoft is making this acquisition with an eye to the future of its core software and how it's delivered with advertising over the web. But people aren't talking about this deal as being the critical deal and the time being short for that because of the number of years over which this will play out.
But I guess when you're looking to spend $45 billion, you'd better be thinking pretty long term.
Definitely.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, and the search engine wars, the battle of giants over the digital future, which these days basically means all of our futures. So much of life, of commerce, of socializing going on in the world that these huge companies are now fighting over. We've been joined from San Francisco by Kevin Delaney, Bigfoot tech reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He's been all over this story. With me in the studio, Nicholas Carr, author of the new book, The Big Switch, Rewiring the World from Edison to Google. Nick Carr, Google talks about cloud computing. This is their kind of fabulous way of describing, I guess, software that just services that pour down from the internet instead of coming wrapped in cellophane. What difference does that make to most people, Americans or around the world, in the way that they will relate to digital world computing, et cetera?
Well, in some ways, you know, it doesn't mark a radical change for the end user, for people like you and me, because it's kind of natural that you get the capabilities you require simply by going online and going through your web browser. The great advantage of it is that a lot of this stuff is served up for free, so you don't have to pay any money for it. And also, it relieves us from being kind of the amateur computer technician that we've had to have been for the last 20 years, you know, installing our own software, updating it, troubleshooting it. So in many ways, it's a very much simpler, easier method of doing your computing. And that's why Google has been investing billions of dollars in creating these big data centers. Those are kind of the clouds from that are out on the internet that are serving up software and data very quickly and very efficiently to all of our individual machines.
Kevin Delaney, you're in San Francisco. You spend your days in Silicon Valley. Give us a sense of how this deal, a potential deal, Microsoft's bear hug of Yahoo. Yahoo doesn't really want it, but how's it being seen in Silicon Valley? Who are people rooting for, and how are the stakes seen there?
Well, what's interesting is that there are real, you know, you have to have a sense of the real historic ties between Yahoo and Google. Their founders are both Stanford alumni, and they're in both of those companies' cases, there are tons of ties between even families where one of the parents works for Yahoo and the other one works for Google, or people have gone between the two companies.
So culturally, so, even familially, they're in the same neck of the woods.
Exactly. There is a lot of familiarity and closeness and relationships between Google and Yahoo that I'm not sure are apparent outside of Silicon Valley, because you think of Google as the company that's basically eaten Yahoo's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that Jerry Yang, the CEO of Yahoo, hasn't wanted to sell to Microsoft historically. We know that some people at Google think that they should try and help him if he wants to avoid going to Microsoft. And there is this sort of connection between the companies and on many levels out here. And so that's something that I think is probably more visible.
Let's hear from Jerry Yang for just a moment. At a conference last month, the Yahoo CEO, famously co-founder of Yahoo, laid out his vision for the company and really for the whole digital future.
It's clear that the world is becoming more open. By that we mean people are taking what they want to see, who they want to talk to, and where they want to go with them, and the world's becoming more interoperable. And also, the world's becoming more social, as well as everything is becoming mobile. So people are looking for ways to bring all these capabilities together, making them personally relevant. The future is about making the web experience simpler and more efficient for everyone.
Jerry Yang, last month at a conference, the Yahoo CEO talking about the future. Let's let our listeners into this conversation. Kevin Delaney of the Wall Street Journal's here. Nicholas Carr is with us. His new book is The Big Switch. Jack's calling from Lexington, Massachusetts. Hi, Jack. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a veteran computer industry journalist, and I've been working on a research project for about the last 7 months on online advertising. And I just had a couple of comments about what this merger is really about.
Mm.
Microsoft's search engine and search service has not been as successful as any of the other players in terms of garnering online advertising. Now, there's more companies out there, more advertisers out there than there are websites for placement of their ads.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's looking to increase that market share on the publisher side. What Microsoft is really looking for here is an instant acquisition of a portal, namely Yahoo, which has phenomenal advertising publishing space. And it's just like an instant shot in the arm where they will be able to have a huge number of portals and sites and places to put all that advertising that's looking for a place to be shown.
But Jack, isn't Yahoo kind of seen, and I would think that the numbers bear this out, as yesterday's portal, yesterday's news, a kind of a mishmash?
Indeed it is. But it still has a lot of traffic. It still has a huge amount of traffic. And some of that comes through the email, which is certainly one of the most predominant next to search engine text-based ads, the ability to place ads in and around email messages. It still has a lot of traffic.
Jack, thanks very much for that perspective. Kevin Delaney, what about it? If you describe a combined Yahoo and Microsoft having 18% of all visitors on the web, that would seem to be a pretty big advertising opportunity. And yet, there's enormous skepticism. You can read it all over about this deal actually working. Jack says Microsoft wants ad revenues and they're going to have huge traffic here. Then why the skepticism, Kevin?
Well, I think there are two reasons. One is that, you know, people are very familiar with Microsoft products, but they're naturally, you know, skeptical. Everyone has had their problem with Microsoft software shutting down their computer, and in a similar way, Yahoo has, you know, over the years had various service problems that a lot of people have been affected by. And so I think, you know, despite people's familiarity with these products, there's a certain level of consumer skepticism that the service is going to be any better when these two behemoth companies are together than they are separately. And I also think, you know, the history of, on a business level, the history of mergers is that very few of them actually succeed in really delivering all the benefits that are promised by the CEOs at the time that they're announced. And so if this actually goes through, there's a lot of hard work that Microsoft is going to have to do to come anywhere near getting the $1 billion plus of synergies that they are talking about.
$1 billion in new revenues every year, Steve Ballmer is saying, and it would take a lot of years to come back to $45 billion. Nick Carr, what do you think of this marriage? Does it look like a marriage that works to you or a kind of a mess?
Well, it's certainly a marriage of necessity rather than of choice. And Kevin's right that these mergers of this scale are very difficult to pull off. And what makes this one very, very difficult is the ill will that exists between Yahoo and Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft in Silicon Valley, and Yahoo is a classic Silicon Valley company, Microsoft is seen as Darth Vader. So there's, you know, to be bought by this evil presence outside of Silicon Valley is almost a humiliation. And the big fear is that you know, Yahoo's people aren't going to stick around, or they're going to rebel, or they're going to be demotivated. So, I think it could work, but even in the difficult world of big acquisitions, this one is really difficult.
Kevin, remind us of the history there. Microsoft last year was wooing very hard. They came and asked nice. Yahoo said no, and they came back uninvited to say, we don't care. We're going to throw a bear hug around you anyway, I guess.
That's exactly it. Microsoft and Yahoo have been talking for years. There's a joke, a colleague and I joke about this, because every year we write an article about how Microsoft is trying to acquire Yahoo for the last few years, and up until now it has not been true. But the truth is, behind the scenes, Microsoft actually was courting Yahoo, and there are moments where Yahoo, under its former CEO Terry Semel, actually was more interested in joining up with Microsoft as well. And so Microsoft, about last February, put an offer on the table. Yahoo said it wasn't interested. Maybe they could do some other stuff together. Microsoft has been mulling over this. Yahoo replaced its CEO in June. Co-founder Jerry Yang comes back, does a strategic review, promises there'll be no sacred cows. Yahoo really has continued to fail to deliver in investors' eyes. Its shares are, you know, at levels last seen in 2003 before Microsoft comes along. And Microsoft, and Steve Ballmer said this clearly in the letter he sent to Yahoo's board last Thursday, you know, basically, you had your chance. You didn't want to talk to us a year ago. Things are only getting worse from here, and now we're going to come in and put this offer on the table.
Let's take a call from Charleston, South Carolina. Jim, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Can you hear me, guys?
Yes, loud and clear, Jim. What do you think?
I'm a big Yahoo guy. I've liked their product, and you know, they do a really good job with what they do. And I'm not a big Microsoft guy, but I think the two of them in unison would be an instant threat to Google in many, many areas. Not so much in search, but in, you know, an overall sense of the internet. I really think that they could be pretty productive, and nothing would motivate Yahoo employees better than money. So they would probably stick around for Microsoft stock or just, you know, cash.
So you're not surprised to see Google pushing back hard. You see a real threat here.
I see a threat for Google. I mean, they've got a lot of publicity and a lot of street cred, if you will, behind them for their search engine, and it is maybe better or the same as Yahoo, but they got their start under Yahoo. They learned under Yahoo. Yahoo could have bought them 3 or 4 years ago and prevented all this for pennies on the dollar for what they're worth now, and didn't. And I think that's where you see a lot of the sweat pouring off of the heads of people at Yahoo. But anyway, I think Microsoft and Yahoo in unison would be very, very good for the internet and for both of those companies in general. It might not be instantaneously profitable like you look for in, you know, S&P 500 companies.
Yep.
Long term, it's the best thing for both of them.
Jim, we've got it, and we hear you pretty much rooting for that union. We don't know if it's going to happen, but we've got the perspective. If I may, let me invite in another voice to respond and look at it. Dylan Tweeney joins us, senior editor at Wired Magazine, wired.com, joins us from San Francisco. Dylan, thanks a lot for being here.
Hi, Tom.
What do you think about this marriage? Is it a winner? And what's driving all this drama?
Well, one of the things that's driving the drama, I think, is just this, especially out here in Silicon Valley, there's sort of this reflex distrust and almost hate of anything related with Microsoft. I think that partly has to do with the wildly different styles between Silicon Valley company like Yahoo and the way Microsoft does things. I mean, there's just an enormous cultural difference, and I think that goes back to where the companies come from. I mean, some of the things that you guys were discussing earlier, it's, you know, Microsoft has always been in the business of writing software, and it's really a child of the first personal computing revolution of the 80s. And Yahoo has really always been about being a portal and directing people to resources on the internet. It's always been about openness. They've definitely embraced open source software.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, it's a child of the 90s. I think bringing those two cultures together is going to be a real challenge if this merger goes through.
Dylan, in the last few years, Google, the sort of successor generation, has seemed pretty much untouchable when it comes to search, and practically untouchable in the services beyond that. Is it untouchable?
Well, it's anybody who wants to take on Google really has their work cut out for them. I think in the area of search, that story is pretty much over. There are some refinements to search that are being made, and particularly in terms of presenting search for mobile devices. But I think, you know, really it's a question of refining something that Google already does extremely well. The other really difficult advantage to challenge that Google has is they've built up this incredible ad marketplace for carrying text-based ads not only on Google itself when you look at search results, but also on partner sites. And that marketplace is extremely well organized, extremely effective, and for the people, the businesses that are advertising in it, it's easy to use and delivers a tremendous amount of information about what customers and would-be customers are interested in. So I think that, you know, trying to recreate that is something that Yahoo has been trying to do for years and has failed at. Microsoft has made a go at, but really hasn't reached anything like Google's market share. I think, by combining Microsoft and Yahoo, that's one of the things that Steve Ballmer would really like to take on ad network.
But let me ask you about this kind of assumption that, Silicon Valley is all about change, and the little guys come up and they take down the big guys eventually. And there, I'm getting this sense of an assumption that Google changes that Google's eternal. You said the search business is basically settled now. I mean, I just as a user, let's say, I wonder about that because I go to Google, I use it like everybody else. And yet, it throws me out to this whole big jumble of websites that may or may not have exactly what I want, exactly when I want it. Can this really be the end point on search? Isn't it going to get more somehow sophisticated, more flexible?
Yeah, I'm sure it will. It's just that right now, you never know in the technology business. Something could come out of left field that nobody has anticipated yet, and it could turn into next year's big thing. And that's kind of what happened with Google. Right now, though, Google is so well entrenched in terms of how people use it. I mean, they really understand how to deliver search results quickly. Their site's design is very stripped down, very fast, very clean. And it's completely opposite to the way that Yahoo and a lot of other sites have been doing things, where they just try to pile as much content as possible onto the page. I think as a result, Google has won incredible user loyalty. Now, of course, it's easy to go to another search engine. You just type in a different URL. But right now, I think people, Google is a verb. I think that's a sign of how embedded in the internet consciousness Google is right now.
Dylan Tweeney at Wired Magazine in San Francisco, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Nick Carr, Google is the be-all and end-all of the search business, not to mention cloud computing.
Not necessarily the end-all. I mean, the fact that Google has grown to dominance so quickly shows that things can change and change quickly. And if you build a better mousetrap, whether it's search or something else, you can draw traffic. That said, Google has enormous amount of momentum, and it keeps getting bigger and it keeps drawing share. So we've yet to see Yahoo or Microsoft figure out how to crack that nut. On the other hand, if you look at Google's response to this deal, they're fiercely opposed to it, and appear to be willing to do whatever they can do to squelch it. So that shows you that Google is nervous about this. And they fear Microsoft because Microsoft in the past has been able to come from behind in many different instances and, take over new markets.
Kevin Delaney, just 20 seconds before the break, Rupert Murdoch and News Corp say they're not going to come in and compete at this level, $45 billion. Anybody else who might come in there, sweeten the pot and try and take it away from Microsoft, go after Yahoo?
All the obvious players have said no or we've heard that they're not interested. AT&T, Comcast, Time Warner. Doesn't look like any of those guys are going to jump in. So there could be some curveball, but so far a real serious rival bidder has not emerged.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, and the search engine wars, the battle of giants underway right now over the digital future. We've been very lucky to be joined in this hour from San Francisco by Kevin Delaney, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, who's all over this story. His pieces have really been driving coverage of it coast to coast. And Nicholas Carr is with us, former executive editor of the Harvard Business Review, author of the new book, The Big Switch, Rewiring the World from Edison to Google. Let's get a call here from David in Lincoln, Massachusetts. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Well.
I think it's a bad investment because Yahoo is losing market share because they're a first-generation web portal model when, you know, AOL-style,
yep.
people didn't know where to start on the web. And as people become more sophisticated, they can go to the specific sites and resources that they need. They don't need to start on a Yahoo. And your guest mentioned a better mousetrap. I think a lot of what people are doing online is shopping, and increasingly, rather than start on a Google or Yahoo, they're going to go to a comparison shopping engine like a StylePath or Shopping.com that will get them directly to the products they need without going through three steps first. And so if I were, you know, if you look at the big wins online recently, Facebook, YouTube, sites like that,
mm-hmm.
I think Microsoft would be better off to make 45,000 $1 million bets rather than one $45 billion bet, since, you know, the future of the web is going to be the insurgents and the new models and not betting on the past.
Oh, I love the point, but let me ask you, if the web portal is history, what about Google itself? Does your who needs it question apply to Google as well, David?
I think so. I think that, you know, it's not going to be for a couple years, but I think people are going to realize that, you know, the results are amazing because people still aren't that familiar with the resources online, but that the new sort of more sophisticated generation of users that knows how to find what they want through other smaller niche search engines don't really need Google. I think Google is a sort of AOL 10 years out.
But I've got to ask you, though, David, I mean, people may become more familiar with the Internet and what's available there and go straight to it. On the other hand, it's so big that is anybody ever going to get past the need for a search engine to help get, you know, find your way around?
Well, I would divide it, though, into I think if the advertising value of Yahoo is primarily for users that are shopping, because if users are doing research, they're not going to be, you know, clicking on ads. And for shopping, I don't think that Google really does offer a valuable service because a lot of the content is unrelated to products, which is what people are looking for. So I think for the bulk of where the advertising revenue is, users will migrate to comparison engines.
We've got it. Nick and Kevin, I'm going to put that to you, but let's get one more comment on this from a listener first. Yorktown, Virginia. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. My comment is that I find the Google search is increasingly less useful because all I get is a retail store or an outlet to sell something. It's very difficult to do research, and it forces me to go to other sources like Yahoo or Microsoft or Ask.com in order to find the information I'm really looking for.
Now, Mike, why are those better for you than Google would be? I didn't quite get that.
Well, they're better for me because the search returns something relevant to the background on the product rather than just a price quote. I don't want to get a search response with 50 price quotes.
Right, so it's not as simple as that kind of shopping for you, and you're actually going back the other way. So, Mike, thanks very much for your call. Kevin Delaney, there's a couple of perspectives from listeners. You heard David say he thinks web portals and maybe even search engines will recede in significance as people go to more shopping-oriented sites. Mike says, well, I don't just want a comparison of price points, and that's what I'm getting kind of from Google. What do you say, Kevin?
Well, I think it's a really good point that these waves of technology are very rapid and that people, you know, new things come along. Social networking was given up for dead a few years ago with Friendster and with its growth slowing. And, you know, what do you know? Here's Facebook, and that seems to be the thing that a good portion of our country starts up there on their web browser every day. So I think, you know, that's a really good observation that people's habits change and new things come along very quickly. What I would suggest is that one area where people are going to be using services more and where there is an opportunity for people to get new habits apart from Google or Yahoo or Microsoft, or maybe it'll be one of those companies that does this, but is the mobile area. You know, potentially a really big year in terms of what people can do on their mobile handsets. You have the iPhone, which is out.
Mm-hmm.
You have some phones running Google software that are supposed to come out at the end of the year. And the premise of all these is that people are going to be able to access the Internet and everything they do on the Internet from their phones just like they do from their computers. And when you're talking about shopping, you know, there are going to be new habits around how you shop when you actually have this device in your hand when you're in the store. Mm. So I think your listeners made some really good points. I'd suggest that mobile might be an area where some of this plays out even faster.
Nick Carr, what about our listeners' comments on search and where it's headed and then the whole mobile face emerging?
Right. Well, I mean, Mike's right that one of the problems with search these days and one of Google's vulnerabilities is that it is constantly being gamed by companies that want to get high up in your search results because mm-hmm. getting high up in Google search results means a lot of money. And so there's this entire industry, this entire profession of search engine marketers or search engine optimizers that is out there trying to game Google's results.
Which may or may not bring you what you're looking for
right.
as a user.
Or, you know, as Mike said, sometimes you go and all you find is this long list of retailers mm-hmm. or even shopping search engines instead of information about the product. And so there's this tug of war or cat and mouse game between Google and all those companies out there that want to game Google's system, and it can be frustrating. This is the same challenge that faces other search engines as well. And to disagree with the earlier caller, David, it's a reasonable point to think that as people become more sophisticated online, they're going to move away from these, you know, centralized navigational tools like search engines. The problem is we don't see that actually happening. And in fact, over the last 5 years, if you look at the percentage of traffic represented by the top 10 sites, it's actually gone up. So people, you know, when faced with the welter of the net and the welter of information, people like to go back to, you know, trusted places to get information, whether it's Google or a portal run by Yahoo or even Facebook. I mean, that's another example of a big centralized site. So I don't necessarily see this, you know, the big being undermined by the small. I think the big are probably going to continue to get bigger.
Let's get a call from Beaufort, North Carolina, and Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. So someone mentioned before that Google is a verb. I'd just like to remind people that so is Xerox.
right.
So things
we know where that company went. The word's still around, but the company not so much.
They didn't do badly, but their time is gone. One of the things I think is being forgotten is that, and the reason I'm in a way rooting for the merger, is that I think the hurdle, one of the huge things Google has, besides the fact of how well they do search, which someone else might be able to do as well or better or whatever or not, is the cost, their infrastructure, the server farm, the huge server farms they've built, where they basically engineer everything from the low-level operating system and management database systems that do the searches and deliver answers quickly.
Giant that's investment. Nothing comes up faster than Google. Nobody can deliver you more quickly. It's easy to see.
That's become a huge engineering and money kind of entry point hurdle. And what Microsoft gets, what Yahoo gets from Microsoft is the money to be able and the technology smarts to be able to create that vertical kind of implementation that delivers a service, and Microsoft gets Yahoo's brand name, and Google is no kind of upstart new player at this point. We're talking about two giants, Redmond and Silicon Valley, and I don't think there's anything about a giant, this dark Vader. This is not Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. This is two Goliaths.
Two Goliaths, and plus maybe Micro Who, whatever that would be.
Yep.
Kevin Delaney, what about it? Will Microsoft's giant bucks somehow buy them parity with Google? If that's the case, why haven't they bought it already? Why are they going out to it for another $45 billion spend? And if they spend $45 billion, even for Microsoft, how much is left over, you know, to pour into the engineering challenge that that our caller's describing?
Yeah, no, Microsoft has tried on its own. It's easy to forget, but Microsoft has bought a number of, of companies, and they spent hundreds of millions of dollars on their own search technology. They just spent $6 billion on this company called Aquantive last year in the online advertising area. Microsoft has not been, you know, standing still. The problem is that it just hasn't gained, you know, hasn't cracked Google's search share, and it hasn't made the sort of gains that you'd expect from those kind of efforts. So it, you know, may not be too Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, but Google has proved itself a pretty serious competitor. I think one question that we haven't raised yet is what will be the impact of any downturn in the economy on the climate for this sort of thing? You know, is this a $45 billion deal on internet advertising at a moment that the economy and advertising in general is, you know, headed for some serious hard times.
Steve Ballmer can see that as well as anyone else, and yet he's still making the bid.
What he said, we interviewed him this weekend, and what he said is that, you know, over 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, it's impossible to argue that online advertising is not going to grow, and that's the sort of bet that Microsoft is making.
Let's get a call from Benji in Augusta, Georgia. Hi, Benji. You're on the air.
Hello. I think you guys are missing the point. I think that Microsoft is trying to sell Windows, and if they get an online platform that you can only experience through Internet Explorer, then they pretty much shut out all of the free software. And they're also enabling developers who are using Microsoft, or they're selling developer tools to developers and shutting out the free guys.
So you don't trust Microsoft to keep it open, free, exciting in that way, Benji?
Well, not at all. I mean, they're trying to make money. So that's what they're doing.
Nick Carr, do you see Microsoft or MicroWho, if they combine with Yahoo, coming in to try and sew up, shut down, fence the range, all that? Google's sort of intimating
Google,
that's what Microsoft
Google,
would do.
Google thinks, and Google is paranoid about Microsoft for some good reasons. And the big fear is that somehow, you know, Microsoft will be able to integrate or limit what you can do online based on the capabilities of its operating system and of Internet Explorer. It's much more difficult for Microsoft to play those games these days after it's, you know, gone to court and spent a lot of time and embarrassment and money, mm-hmm. Having to disclose its unfair practices in the past. So I don't think that's as big a risk as it used to be. And also, because of this online computing trend, the PC operating system itself is kind of being bypassed and is becoming less and less important as people do more of the stuff they want to do based online and based on Google's big data centers.
And yet there is that history, and Benji's pointing to, we know what Microsoft's instincts were when it had that latitude. Let's get a call from Lucia in Boston. Hi, Lucia, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to make a point about Google. One of your guests mentioned Google's dominance and somehow suggesting that it wasn't fair for there to be this dominance. But the point I'd like to make is that Google's dominance is based on merit. You know, they've got the knowledge, and they're where they are because they've earned it. They've actually thought it through and figured it out. And it's interesting to me that Microsoft wants to buy its way into this. But I think that when you're talking about market dominance, you have to really look at why. And in this case, Google earned its place. So that's my comment.
They earned it. Can't buy the love. Can't buy the standing. Kevin, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think Google has a really good reputation for delivering what people are looking for. And if you look at different markets that they've come into, they have done things that you have to argue are consumer friendly. So with web email, for example, Google came in and said, you know, Microsoft, Yahoo, these guys are giving you these piddling little storage allotments for your email. We're just going to throw it open and give you free as much email storage as you can use. And I think consumers have a lot of allegiance to Google search engine, but it's also moves like that have definitely increased consumer loyalty.
Let's get one more call from Susan in Concord, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you think, Susan?
Well, I had a question for your experts. I was wondering about their views on the impact of this merger in terms of people's privacy. I was mainly concerned that if you're using a Windows operating system and also logging into a Yahoo search, that then all kinds of information about the sorts of things that you're searching on might be collected by now both Microsoft and Yahoo. So I'm just concerned about how that might affect people's privacy.
I'll
take my answer off air. Thank you.
Good, Susan. Thank you. If it gets doubled up right there. Nick Carr, how about it? Privacy if these two get together? And I guess the bigger question as well, on if it goes this way or that, how does it really change the people's lives?
Yep. Well, on the privacy issue, I think right now both of these companies and all the companies online are collecting this information. I mean, one of the main reasons search is so valuable is because you're disclosing what you want by definition. And this information is collected by Google, by Yahoo, by Microsoft, and used to serve you ads. So, you know, you should be concerned about privacy today, and you should be concerned about it, you know, whether this deal goes through or not. As for how this deal is going to change your experience on the web, probably in the short term, it will make very little difference. I mean, you know, you're still going to do what you used to do, and it's all going to be out there. And this is really more, I would argue, more of a business battle about who controls the future rather than how the future will play out. Although, you know, one of the big questions out there is, over the long term, is this deal going to create more competition, or is it going to dampen competition? And Google argues that it'll dampen competition because Yahoo and Microsoft will own big chunks of email and portals. While Microsoft says, no, this is going to increase competition because finally we'll have a big player who can compete with Google in search and advertising. And, we don't know which way it'll go. But in the long run, that will determine if we continue to see a lot of innovation or if things kind of become stagnant over time.
Mm. One way or another, we roll forward, but it could be in quite a different configuration. We'll be watching this battle play out with terrific interest, and we're very grateful to each of you for helping us understand it today. Kevin Delaney with The Wall Street Journal joining us from San Francisco. Kevin, great to have you. We'll keep reading you, and thanks very much for joining us now.
Thank you, Tom.
And Nicholas Carr, author of the new book, look for it. It's The Big Switch, Rewiring the World from Edison to Google. Thanks for being here, Nick.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.